As we continue to wait for the blessing which our Heavenly Father has in store, we will continue with the services of our brother Harry Patius from the Pittsburgh Ecclesia. Brother Patius has chosen a subject titled The Golden Calf. Brother Patius.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Chuba.
First, brethren, I want to express our gratitude to our Heavenly Father for the privilege we have to be with you here, and we receive a rich blessing during this convention. And then also we want to bring you the love and greetings of the brethren back home. Although other members of our ecclesia are here, and also we'll convey the love of the friends back home. Our text, or our subject rather, brings us back to the days of Moses when he was up in the mount and he was delayed coming down back to the Israelites, and they, during his absence, created the golden calf, and they bow down and worship it, declaring, "This, O Israel, is the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt." We may belittle the intelligence of the Israelites creating for themselves a golden calf and worshiping it, the work of their hand. But there is an underlying reason or a cause behind it, and I believe the scriptures reveal the reason for it. We go back then into the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, and we read from the first verse, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together into Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, we shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what it became of him." Now here in their expression, in their explanation of the reason for making or demanding that a God be made for them to go before them, it gives us the reason why. In their own words we find, "This man Moses that brought us up out of the land of Egypt." Now, who brought them out of the land of Egypt? Was it Moses? No, it was God. But they did not see God. They did not recognize God. They only saw Moses. And Moses was up in the mountain too long to be alive. We have to have someone who will go before us. Did they believe that this golden calf in itself will lead them, will guide them, will protect them? No, not necessarily in itself. The golden calf in this instance acted or will serve as a medium of access, as a go-between them and God. They did not see God because of a fundamental principle that is revealed in the Bible. It is a fundamental truth. They were humans. They were not spiritual. They could not see God. They only saw Moses. And really, It is a fact. Moses was a mediator or a go-between. They could not see God. They were carnal. They were human. And the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and the 14th verse, we read, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In the Old Testament times, faith was not on a national basis. It was only on individual basis. There were some who had faith in God and could see God, but not the nation as a whole. The Apostle Paul singles out Moses in the Epistle to the Hebrews in the 11th chapter and the 27th verse, we read, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." It took faith for Moses to see God who is invisible. The Israelites did not have any. They were carnal-minded. They were humans. They did not see God. Although they have seen the miracles, yes, but they were not any near close to God. This is the story all through the Old Testament. This is the reason of the Israelites failing to please God and always seeking to worship strange gods, because they could see them. And what man sees, that will satisfy him. And we find them in the days of Samuel. You remember that God was their king, in a way, represented through the judges. And the judges were taking their orders from God and were judging Israel. No, but the Israelites, they wanted someone whom they can see. We read in 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and the 5th to 9th verses, "And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." They were jealous of the other nations surrounding them, because they had a king that they could see, that he could walk before them. And in that, they felt satisfied. Samuel did not like it. He presented him up before the Lord, and the Lord told him to go and comply with their demand. Give them a king. It is not thee, he said, but it is me that they reject as a king. And in the 19th verse, rather, we read, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us." Because they were carnal-minded. They wanted something that they can see to go before them. This is the spirit, brethren, and all through the ages. This is the reason of the many idols of the different nations surrounding Israel. in the which they were creating their own gods to worship. Not really that they were worshiping them, thinking that they were in themselves all-powerful, but in the spirit that they will act as a medium of access. It would be their way through which they can approach the invisible. They could not see the invisible. They had to have something through which they could go between. You remember in the day of our Lord Jesus, as it is recorded in John, the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter and the 20th verse. There he was conversing with a woman, and she said unto our Lord, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Notice here, the place of worship plays an important part in their minds. The one said, in Jerusalem is the only place where God can be worshipped. She said, our fathers taught us in this mountain is the place to worship God. As though the location, it was necessary, it was important, or the only way that God can accept their prayers. Why? They needed the medium of access, a means to an end. They could not go directly without it. And the Lord told her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. In other words, our Lord told her that the day cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem it would be necessary one to be to worship God. For God is a spirit, and it will be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Now, we come into the days of the New Testament. And what do we find? Again, we find the same experience with those who are not or were not spiritual, but carnal minded. Scripture, that is, an illustration of this spirit, is found in the 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the first verse. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as it do babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with me. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now notice here, the carnal mind, they are in divisions and walk as men, not as spiritual develop. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, what is the reason here behind, brethren? Why would they say, I am of Peter, I am of Apollos, or I am of Paul? Because they were carnal-minded, and they could not approach God directly, and they had to have a medium of access. They had to have somebody where they can hitch themselves onto, and they would feel more secure and safe on their way. They had to have someone, in other words, to lean on. And that is carnal-mindedness. That is divisions. This is separations. And the Apostle Paul says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? The Lord operated through his agents, through his servants, to bring them into the truth. Let us say, brethren, to bring them unto himself. The apostle says, who then is Paul, who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Believed on whom? Believe not in Paul, believe not in Apollos, definitely not, but believe in Christ. Paul was not preaching himself, neither did Peter, neither did Apollos. They were preaching Christ and him crucified. And they wanted all that they will believe and go to Jesus, not follow themselves. They wanted no followers. But carnal-mindedness wanted to follow what they can see. What they can see was more satisfactory than looking into the unseen and trusting what their eyes cannot see. And this, we find it, has been a great cause for many to fall away from the truth, even in the days of the apostles. If we read the two epistles to Timothy, the first one presents to us a picture of authority. The Apostle Paul, as an apostle of Christ, instructs Timothy how to conduct himself in the church, who is to appoint it an elder or a deacon, how the women are to behave in church, and speaking about some who were not agreeing or causing trouble in church, were to be cast into the devil for their flesh to be destroyed, but their spirit to be saved in the day of the Lord. We come into the second epistle, and there you find the Apostle Paul in a different mood because of the failure of the ones who believed to keep on in the spirit in which they were called, serving the Lord and pleasing in his sight. There in the second epistle, the Apostle Paul mentions so many that they were out of the truth and working against the truth. And mention some of them, like Himeneus and Philetos and Alexander the coppersmith, about whom he said, "He'd done much evil to me." And then he goes on to say, "All in Asia have forsaken me. All in Asia have forsaken me." And Asia was a large territory of many ecclesias. What happened with them? Have they gone out of the truth? No. They have gone out of Christ, following human leaders. And this is the biggest cause of failure all through the ages, brethren. We go into the dark, what we call dark ages, immediately after the death of the apostles. Where have the Christians fallen to? In idol worshipping. Either men or even images. They follow the custom of the heathens, whom they try to please and harmonize to keep them together. And what do we, have we find all through the gospel age? Not following Christ. Not that they refuse Christ. Not that they say there is no Christ. But all of them trying to approach Christ, trying to go to Christ through some visible means. Something that they can see, that they have it in front of them. Whether it will be an image of a saint, a crucifix, or what have you. All of them, they have them as a means or a medium of approach through which they can approach God, through which they hope their prayers can be heard. Many times I have illustrated this thought. These crucifixes or images, it's their gun to shoot their prayers up in heaven. That's the only way they understand. They cannot pray unless they have that in front of them. They cannot pray unless they are in a building, what they call church. They cannot do anything without having something on their hand to remind them of spiritual things. You go into the Catholic Church, whether it be a pope, a bishop, or a priest, they all of them go dispensing blessings. They're the antenna, you know, that will tune in from heaven. And if you watch on the television the ritual of the Catholic Church and also the Greek Orthodox Church, one that is performed by the bishop, you see there one time he wears one hat, and then come a little while later, they change it and put another on. They change the switch and they increase the voltage, that it will go less or more. Well, that is, brethren, their idea of worshiping God. They have to have a medium of access. They have to have something in front of them. Because they are carnal. They are not spiritual. They cannot go before God without anything in front of them. In the Middle Ages, to the later part, we had what is called the Reformers. They have started a wonderful movement towards breaking away from the human bondage, from the ignorance, the superstition. But their followers did not make much progress after them. They built around them a fence, and they have remained in the things that their reformers have begun. They have made no progress. And I'm sure you remember in the days of, the writings of our brother Russell, how he criticized their followers for not making any farther progress than their leaders. They built a fence, trying to hold their flock, and they condemned anyone who tried to break away from that fence. This has been the experience all through the Gospel Age. Well, now, brethren, let us come down to our day. Let us come down to the days of Brother Osho. In his lifetime, all things appear sweet. If the Lord decided then to take his people into the kingdom, and probably you will never leave one out. All seem to be ready, full of love and obedience and whatever was necessary. But the Lord knew better, and who was with his truth, who was directly connected with him, with the Lord, and who was not. The Lord knew who was following a man and who was following him, the Lord. He took Brother Osho out. And immediately, brethren, it revealed the spirit of those who were following Brother Osho and not the Lord. Do you remember, those of you who were then in the truth, what it appeared in the watchtower immediately after his death? That Brother Osho was that servant, and that servant was represented by the society, and it was the channel of the Lord, and that channel will continue to be the visible instrument of God on earth. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard the channel, that expression? Oh yes, I'm sure you have. Those of you who have any idea, have you ever heard about JWs? You know what they think about channel. You see, we have exactly what happened with the Israelites with a golden calf. It was the channel or a medium of access. What happened into the days of the apostles? Why of Paul, of Apollos, of Peter, or anybody else? The medium of access. Why now the society? The medium of access through which God will communicate. And they believe that everything the channel writes, it is from God, and it is infallible, and they have to obey if they want to live at all anywhere on earth. And if they don't obey, they are condemned to the second death. And watch yourself if they come to your door, and if you don't believe it. According to that idea, you'll be a goner too. Well, brethren, this is the human point of view. This is how man wants it. I have heard quite often that God cannot be on this earth without an organization. He must have an organization to conduct his work. He must have a visible instrument here on earth. And that is only because they're human. And those who are really the Lord's, those who have seen the Lord, they need no images, they need no crucifixes, they need no Pauls, no Peters, no channels, because their communion is direct with the Lord. In the natural and in the in the vegetable kingdom on this world and also in the animal kingdom, we have what is called parasites. They are found everywhere. In the vegetable kingdom, I'll mention two of them, is the dodder and the mistletoe. Both of them, they fix curious suckling discs into the stem and the branches of the plants. They suck their food from the plant without working to take it from the ground. In the animal kingdom, also, every animal is a living poorhouse and harbors one or more of what is called epizoa or endozoa, parasites. I have experience personal on that subject. I was born and raised in a village. In our hometown, we had to have, in other words, the necessity compel us to keep about a dozen goats in our home. And every day during the summer, every evening when they come home, I will go out and put my hand on their skin, seeking those parasites. When, before they are fed much blood, they are small. And then as they suck the blood from the animal, they grow big, about the size of a bean. And if there are too many on the head of the animal, it gets dazed and sometimes falls down. They are parasites. They do not work for their food. They want their food ready, chewed, assimilated, digested. And nature tells us, rather, science tells us that on account of their type of life, that their system has degenerated. They have no digestive system to assimilate and digest any food at all, because always they take what is already pre-digested. They are entirely without any digestive system. Well, brethren, here is a wonderful illustration of what goes on in the spiritual world, shall we say. Just as it is a natural or physical parasites, it is also spiritual. In the different denominations, have you heard this expression? let's join a church and go to heaven. Like a parasite will piggyback on a church to enter heaven. He will get his food already pre-masticated and digested. Even his prayers will be written for him. He has no work to perform at all. And that has been going on quite a bit. Now, what is then for us? What is the lesson here? In nature, we learn that anything that you don't use, nature takes it away from you. In other words, if we don't use our digestive system, it gradually will degenerate. And so it is, brethren, in the spiritual sense. We must assimilate, digest the truth. We must use our natural or God-given senses that we understand what we believe and prove it from the Bible. The Apostle Paul, writing in Hebrews, the 5th chapter and the 11th to 14th verses. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you are to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which you be first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And notice here, brethren, by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Have we? Let us ask ourselves. Are we using our senses to discern the truth from the error? Or are we want to have everything ready, prepared, chewed, assimilated, digested for us? It is in our power, and it is for our benefit. We have, brethren, accepted the truth, and it is through the truth that we know one another. Have we proved the truth from the Bible? Then we have made it ours. Brother Russell was the medium, the means through which we have believed. Like the Apostle Paul spoke about himself, who is Paul but a means through which you have believed, he said. And so it was with Brother Russell that the Lord has used him to bring us into the knowledge of the truth. Let us prove it from the Bible. Let us make the truth our own. Then we are thoroughly entrenched in the truth, and nothing will move us from it. The delaying of the fulfillment of our hopes has the tendency of degeneration and also sectarianism. Time element should be of benefit to us to develop us more into the image and likeness of our Lord. But it also, to some, has the tendency to cool them off, to return them into life of formality. In other words, a life of easygoing, which actually in itself is also sectarianism. Now, sectarianism, it's an ugly word. And yet, if we are working one against the other, and we're just then falling into that type of spirit, it will be a hindrance to further progressing in the truth. Because sectarianism always has a stop. It sets a limit as to how far you will go. And we know that much light yet is to be revealed in the fulfilling of God's promises. Our Lord Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray. In the original Greek, this word watch has the thought of being staying awake or to be alert. If we are not, we will not see a prophecy being fulfilled, because we will either think it is already has been fulfilled, or it will be fulfilled in a manner in which we didn't expect. It is therefore, brethren, while we are united in our efforts to serve the truth, to proclaim the message of the kingdom into the world, we have united also to help one another. And let us accept one another in Christ, and let us fellowship in Him, and let us be always alert against the snares of the devil. Let us observe the advice of Saint John, the Apostle John, in his first epistle, 5th chapter, and the 21st verse, the last verse of the first epistle. He says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. May the Lord add his blessing.